Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Big honor for the Hillsboro Hops and general manager K.L. Wambacher. He was named the executive of the year for all of minor league baseball. We'll take more of your phone calls. Phone lines are jammed with people wanting to talk about the Ducks head coaching candidate. I love this. Let's do it. I want to ask K.L. Wambacher because he's the executive of the year in all of minor league baseball. First of all, congratulations, K.L. Second of all, who should the Ducks hire? Who do they hire here?
I think that's a good question. I like the is it Jonathan or the former Duck that's at Cal?
Justin Wilcox. Yes.
Wilcox. Yep. I like Justin Wilcox. He's a candidate, right?
Yeah. All right. Let me ask you this, because this dovetails nicely, because minor league baseball, you know, elects you as executive of the year. You hire people all the time. When you're looking to make a hire, what kinds of things are important?
Organizational pride. Someone that's going to be committed to the organization over themselves. That's probably the number one quality we look for. So, you know, team first attitude. The team wins, we win. And you know, so if I'm looking for a football coach, I'm looking for a baseball coach, like if they have a tie to the organization, I think the pride level is going to be a lot higher.
When you when you're named executive of the year in minor league baseball, I mean, you probably don't see that coming. How surprised were you, and what does that mean to you?
I was shocked. that Baseball America even knew my name, I think, was pretty humbling. But you know, I think for me, I've never been one to like go after awards or do things to try to get awards. So it's cool to see your effort recognized, but for us, like we've always had a team attitude. We have a great front office, we have a great community, great ownership group that's been extremely supportive of letting us kind of develop the vision and go get the vision. And then, you know, we try not to have job titles in the office. We all want to work together and put forth a lot of effort together. We all take a lot of pride in our work and just try to have a team first attitude. And you know, one of the reasons I think they recognized us was hosting Vancouver this year. And it's been talked about a lot in the baseball circles. And, you know, it's just such an easy decision for us to host them because we want to be good teammates. We want to be a good league mate. And everyone just buys into that.
Talking to K.L. Wambacher, Hillsboro Hops. He's been named Minor League Baseball's Executive of the Year. What's on the horizon for you guys? It was a weird year last year, but what are you doing out there in Hillsboro that people can look forward to?
Well, it's pretty exciting. I mean, I'm sitting in Orlando right now at the baseball winter meeting. The MLB portion got canceled, but the minor league portion is vibrant and moving ahead. So we were excited that the lockout won't affect us one bit. Minor league season will move on as normal. But we're now seeing all the changes with MLB taking over the minor leagues. We're seeing what that's going to mean. And we were excited about it last year, but we're even more excited about it after 2 days of meetings. I mean, the attitude the MLB people have now owning the minor leagues, it's pretty exciting. I mean, we're sitting at different tables with national sponsors. We're sitting at different tables with, you know, Apple TV potentially and streaming deals and national broadcasting deals. And so I think as an industry, we're going to see some significant changes for the positive. That's going to trickle down to great markets like us in Hillsboro. And for us, we just want to try to get back to a normal season, have group sales again, have company parties out at the ballpark, be able to operate going into the season, knowing what to expect. You know, we didn't know what percent capacity we'd be, and it changed every week last year. So just more kind of regularity to it where we can plan and execute on those plans.
KL Wambacher is our guest. The team, you've had success out there for a while. What's the secret sauce? You got great ownership. You've had great players over the years, but it's you, man. I mean, you won't take the bow. KL, you do a hell of a job.
I appreciate it, but I mean, the secret sauce is just, I think it's having that team mentality. It's putting the organization above your own goal, your own needs, and then just working together to accomplish it, and then we all take pride. I think that word pride just comes up over and over and over. You have pride in the organization, you're gonna do a great job, you're gonna care about the people you service, and we love it. We come to work every day with a smile on our face and just ready to put on a heck of a show.
It's a weird time in sports right now. You got baseball lockout, and you've got some people viewing that as a positive. What are the winter meetings like amid a lockout?
It's crazy. I mean, normally there's 6,000 plus people here, and you've got media, you've got job seekers, you've got trade shows, you've got minor league, major league, and there's probably 500 or 600 people here. Not a single MLB team that I've seen. I know the Diamondbacks aren't here. Normally you're having affiliate receptions and dinners and meetings and stuff like that. But it's kind of been a positive. None of us got to see each other in 2020. And so it's kind of almost like a reunion. A lot of us, we see each other every year at the winter meetings, all of us baseball people, and we all missed each other so much. And so, coming together kind of as a family, some teams didn't make it through that MLB consolidation into the 120. And so just, kind of sharing stories about how it's been as part of the new MLB structure and being able to collaborate together. And so it's just solely focused on the minor leagues, which is a lot different. Normally the major leagues really dominate the winter meetings.
KL Wambacher, Minor League Baseball Executive of the Year. Hey, I'm going to let you get back to it, but I wanted to give you a victory lap, and I think it's a big deal for the state of Oregon. This is not like minor league, Class A. This is all of Minor League Baseball Executive of the Year. Congrats, KL.
Thank you very much, John. I really appreciate it.
All right, there's KL Wambacher, the Hillsboro Hops. He talked about hiring and getting somebody who understands and is excited about the mission. Is that a factor in this Oregon Ducks search? Alex is in Roseburg, listening on the new affiliate in Roseburg. Alex, welcome.
Thank you, John, for taking my call. I'm so glad you did. Okay, I have what you might think is an unrealistic hire, but let me sell it to you real quick.
Okay, let's do it.
Deion Sanders, okay? Let's think about who Deion Sanders is as a person. Flashy, loves the bright lights. What is Oregon? Always on primetime, got the flashiest uniforms in the country. Then you might say, well, he's not a proven coach. Sure, but think about the assistants he could pull in with a name like Deion Sanders. And then finally, recruiting. Everybody would like to play for Deion Sanders. I mean, he's a legend. So I'd just like to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think you run the risk of a couple things. First of all, you run the risk, is he the guy long term? Is he going to leave you like the last two coaches left you? I think all of that is up in the air with Deion Sanders. I also want to take more of your phone calls, and I've dedicated the first 30 minutes of the next hour to you. You brought it yesterday. I want you to bring it again, and I want you to tell me who the Ducks should hire, where they should be fishing, how quickly do they have to make the hire. Leave it here.
BFFT. From the PacWest Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with a bald-faced truth.
A lot on the horizon in the next 24 to 48 hours. I hope you are as locked in as I am. It is the story, not just in the Pac-12 conference, in our region. A lot of people looking at Oregon going, what are they going to do? See, this isn't like Washington needing a new coach in the wake of Jimmy Lake. See, they had a head start. Fired Jimmy Lake, had an opportunity to kind of look around, Oregon has a complicated situation because the Oregon is looking at potentially having to hire after the recruiting signing day passes, and potentially having to hire, obviously, after the vacancies at several high-profile places were filled by candidates Oregon probably would have been interested in. Would Oregon have taken Lincoln Riley? In a heartbeat, Oregon would have taken Lincoln Riley. And everybody would have celebrated it. So what are the Ducks going to do now? Phil Knight on the phone with the Pope? In the meantime, I'm on the phone with you at 503-417-7575. Dave is calling in from Glide. Is it Glide? Dave, welcome to the show.
Hi, John, and I appreciate you taking my call, and I love your show, buddy. It's long overdue.
Thank you.
But anyway, in the point regarding, you know, obviously the coach football program, I worked as a guide, a fishing guide down on the North Umpqua River, which is where I live. And over the years, I guided for about 20 years, and I had the opportunity during that time to take out a number of the football coaches from both Oregon and Oregon State. And it's a unique position because it's very rare that you get 8 to 10 hours a day one-on-one with a football coach.
Mm-hmm.
And during that time, most of the time we talked about family and, you know, fishing and that. I didn't pound him too much on the football side. But when we did talk about the football side with the coaches, there were a couple of points that they always seemed to make, no matter who I took out, whether it was a line coach or a defensive backfield coach or whatever the case may be. And that was that at times coaching is a little bit overrated. The bottom line is it's the bodies you put on the football field. It's the athletes. The teams that have the best athletes usually win the football games, regardless of good or bad coaching. So the bottom line for me with the football coach coming up is it's a recruiting game. And if we don't get a coach that can recruit, I think there's a real good chance we kind of slip right back to the middle of the pack. So anyway, that's my take on it, John, and I appreciate all the time you're giving to it.
Yeah, you
bet.
And look, I appreciate all the calls that we were getting in the last couple of days. And, you know, when you look at recruiting rankings, you know, right now you're looking at Georgia and Texas A&M and Alabama and Ohio State and Notre Dame and Penn State and Texas. And in Notre Dame's case, it jumps out to me that, hey, Notre Dame is coming off like really strong recruiting classes. Like, you know, in the wake of Brian Kelly, what does Notre Dame do? Well, Notre Dame did a really smart thing. Notre Dame went in-house to Marcus Freeman, who, you know, the players on that Irish roster loved. He recruited many of them. The recruiting class that it was on the horizon seemed to nod and appreciate it. He didn't like have mass attrition to that recruiting class like, you know, you're going to have in the case of Mario Cristobal likely. But, you know, I think you start looking at those other programs, you look at the kind of hires. I love that Roy called in earlier and said Lane Kiffin, because it was years ago when the Ducks turned to Willie Taggart that I had wondered about Lane Kiffin. And I was told at the time he doesn't fit. He doesn't fit Eugene. He doesn't fit, you know, Phil Knight. He doesn't, you know, we rooted against this guy for so long. Like, why would they even call him? I wonder now if Oregon would look at Lane Kiffin and consider him. Let's go to Mac, who's in Portland. Mac, welcome to the show.
Oh, hey, John. Sorry, it was Matt. I had a bad connection earlier.
Go ahead, Mac.
Anyways, just in terms of, you know, hiring a head coach, I don't really have a name that stands out just because – I mean, I like the look of the Baylor guy, but I really think he's just going to turn us down if we, you know, yeah. But it's worth a phone call. I would love to go after somebody in the SEC, maybe not necessarily an established coach, but like, you know, maybe an offensive coordinator, a defensive coordinator, because I want to be able to compete for a national championship. That's what Oregon's looking for. And the only way that we're going to be able to do that.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.